in Asian culture, I think, or our parents don't necessarily tell us or educate us on what was supposed to look good. And I think, like, from a lot of my friends, like, in high school, they would be like, yeah, my dad would tell me to get this high skin fade with an edge up on top. And I'm just like, I don't even know what that means. And then I just feel like with our parents, it's just like, yeah, go get it cut short so it lasts longer, you spend less money.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's the foundation of it. It's like, and I think we always, you know, come late to it because, you know, at first we're just like, oh, yeah, we just need to get a haircut. Like, doesn't need to look good. It just needs to last long. It
needs to be practical.
Yeah.
It needs to be short.
Hey, this is Mike.
This is Leo.
Welcome to the Asian Menswear Podcast, a podcast made specifically to empower, inspire, and motivate all of you guys to become the best versions of yourselves. This is for us. Welcome back to the Asian Menswear Podcast Show. I'm Mike, your host, and today we got a hybrid between a spotlight and a barbershop talk episode for you guys. Joining us today are the guys who run the popular 12 Pell Barbershop located in New York's Chinatown. I want to welcome Tim and Peter to the show. Welcome, guys. Thank you guys again for making time out of your busy schedules to hop onto the show to talk about today's topic, man. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure.
Pleasure having you.
Yeah, of course. So just a little background on 12 Pell. It's a barbershop founded by young millennials and Gen Z determined to bring new energy to the traditional men's grooming space. Alongside the fresh fades, tap into curated programming designed to celebrate community, wellness, style, and dedication to the hustle. Their mission is to build a community that shares a passion for what they do in art and entrepreneurship. In addition, 12 Pell has been featured on Yahoo Finance, BBC News, and ABC News, and have a social media following of over 500,000 followers across all platforms. In this episode, we'll learn about Tim and Peter, their barbershop 12 Pell, and talk about something that doesn't necessarily get talked about enough, and that's Asian hair. So if you've ever wondered why your hair grows a certain way or why you're not able to rock a specific haircut like other people, then this episode should be right up your alley. So let's jump right into it, boys. Can you guys quickly introduce yourselves? Let's start with your background, where you're from, and what you guys currently do. You guys can just decide who wants to go first.
Right.
Sure. I'll go first. So, yes, my name is Tim. Thanks for having us again. So my background, I'm from Minnesota. Super random, but grew up in New York City. Came here when I was like 7. Full-time barber for about 7 years now. Had no idea what I wanted to do growing up until after college, as as my mom like was cutting my hair in the basement and then cutting like some of my friends. And then all of a sudden, it was a fluke, right? I had no idea what I was going to do. I was playing volleyball for college. I was just going through the motions of college, you know, just doing it for my parents, right? Having a degree, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't like what I was doing. I was doing phys ed at the time. And so how I got into barbering, can I get into that or should we say that for later?
Oh yeah, go ahead, man. Just say whatever you want to say.
Okay, gotcha. It was a fluke for me. I had no idea I wanted to do this. My friend was getting haircuts for my mom as well. One time she went off to China. And he had to get a haircut. So he found a local barbershop and they effed him up. And he told me when he got back to my house, he's like, Tim, I can't walk around like this. You got to do something. It's in your blood. I went to the basement, grabbed my mom's tools, spent 2 hours and it came out okay. And that's really how it started for me.
Damn. Did you learn a little bit or is this something?
Not at all.
Or what?
I don't know. I guess what he said, he had some truth. You know, it was kind of like in my blood. You know, my mom was doing this. Full-time at the time, and I had no idea what I was doing, but it came out okay.
Nice. It's just funny because my mom's a stylist too, so I kind of grew up where my mom was cutting my hair as well. So I was listening to the podcast that you guys did with Asian Not Asian.
Yeah.
I remember listening to that story, and I thought that was pretty cool how you just decided to spend that 2 hours, and he ended up really liking it, sending it to his friends. I thought that was pretty dope. But yeah, what about you?
Cool. So thanks again for having me, Mike, and us.
Of course.
My name is Peter. I'm 23 years old right now, and I'm Chinese, specifically Fujianese. And, you know, when I was younger, you know, it's long story short, how it went about was, you know, back then my parents used to own a restaurant down south. So this was maybe like in Florida one time. And I used to visit every, you know, winter, every summer, just to help out the restaurant, you know, pay my dues. And they would always bribe me by saying it would be like a vacation, but it wasn't. They would just put me into the restaurant and start chefing it up. So, you know, one day I was bored and I was just hanging out with my cousin down there. And, you know, we went to this local Best Buy just because we wanted to window shop. We didn't have much money. It was just to kill some time away from the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I saw a pair of clippers that I was just like freaking fascinated by. It was like a wall pair of clippers, $18, colorful guards and everything. And at the time, I was like exposed a lot to like hair cutting because of the neighborhood I grew up in. I grew up in Brooklyn, and having like a fresh fade and haircut was ideal to have. Like, and then from there, like, I think what happened was the Instagram algorithm started to pick up and it started to expose me more to like haircuts, fades, and all that. And I always thought it was so cool, and like I always wanted to try it out myself. So those pair of clippers ended up being my starter clippers, as well as something to do when I was down visiting my parents. So I bought that pair of clippers. Well, actually, my cousin did. She basically invested in me. I started cutting my hair at the house down there. And, you know, I was like, wow, this is fun. Although it was a really shitty haircut, I walked out really, really terrible. Summer break was over. I'm back in New York City now. And I told most of my friends, like, hey, I got a gift for you guys. But in actuality, it wasn't a gift. I was like, hey, I got a gift for you guys. They pulled up. And lo and behold, I'm like, hey, let me cut your hair. And then from there, I started cutting my best friend, Jose. It was not the best haircuts, but eventually I found, you know, the love and drive for this, because it was very hands-on. It allowed me to be creative and also gave me something to do. Like, it was like a new hobby besides playing sports. But I had to stop when I was in high school because my grandma just started telling my Asian grandma, she was like, oh, it's so dirty in the house. You're bringing strangers over. Oh, the hair. And you got to clean up the bathtub, all of that. And then I didn't start again until I was in college. This was, you know, my beginning year, spring semester, my junior year of college. I went upstate to University at Buffalo, and, you know, it kind of re-sparked again because I fell in love with the business side of things. You know, at the time I was working at a Chipotle and managing school. I, you know, going to school from 9 to 3, 3 to 12, I was working at Chipotle, and it was terrible. You know, it wasn't cutting it at all. Yeah. I had to, you know, make my money, just pay rent and try to pay for any expenses I had as a college student. So I picked up the clippers again, using actually my last paycheck at Chipotle. I gave myself a month runway to, you know, this is it. Like, you have to figure it out. Either you make the same amount of money or more. Actually, in 2 weeks, I figured it out. Like, I made more than I was at Chipotle. And I was like, yo, fuck Chipotle, I'm out. and I'm just going to do this full time. From there, things start to snowball, right? And a lot of these free haircuts that I try to do led to, you know, paying my bills. And then I started charging. And this is where I was like, oh, well, I love the strategy side of things, of finding people and, like, networking with people, finding creative ways to try to get people to come sit in my chair. You know, one I like to set as an example most of the time is I used to pick people up from campus, drive them to my apartment, cut their hair, and then drive them back. It was a free haircut, but they would end up paying for my gas. And in my head, that was perfect, like $50 haircut pretty much.
Yeah.
And then from there, like, my mind started to turn and my goals started to become different when it came to school. I was going to school for business marketing. And then my last year of college, my spring semester, I got reached out by, you know, one of the founders here at 12 Pell. And they proposed, you know, like, an opportunity for me to grow this contemporary barbershop. I actually ended up dropping out for this opportunity, and that was actually 2.5 years ago, and I'm still here with the team. Yeah.
Dope. And 12L's been around for, is it two years? Oh, about four. Because I was checking out you guys' YouTube, and I saw the grand opening, but it was, I guess, you know, it was posted last year, but I'm assuming it was filmed a couple years before that. But I mean, I think the way that you guys have approached, I guess, like, just barbering in general, using social media, I think that's really smart. I think you guys are transforming how people think of barbershops, you know? And that's exactly the reason why, you know, I wanted to bring you guys on, not just to talk about the Asian hair, but, like, how you guys, from what I've researched, is, like, you guys had that traditional path like any other Asian. Like, the very typical, you go to college, you're going to get this, you know, accounting job or whatever job it is, and you guys decided to do it how you guys wanted. I'm actually surprised you're 23. I thought you're a lot older, just the way that you, you know, carry yourself. So that's pretty cool, man. You know, before all the barbering, so I think this is something that a lot of Asians go through, and I don't think we realize, like, how different Asian hair is. And being that you guys are barbers, can you guys walk me through, like, the time that you guys you know, discover that my hair is different. I can't have these styles like I see in media or magazines and all that.
Yeah. Growing up, I was in a very urban environment in Brooklyn. And so a lot of Latinos, a lot of Blacks, right? And they always had the freshest shape-ups, but I just couldn't get it at home. And I guess I saw inspiration because I was also like into hip-hop and rap. And so I always seen in the music videos, like, they always like had these nice crisp haircuts. And so I think that's where I got my inspiration from. And I realized that my hair was different when I transitioned to going to an actual barbershop. It just didn't look as clean, right? It just was a lot thinner than, you know, a lot thinner than Latino hair, right? But we're always chasing that super clean shape up so much that I actually, 2 days after the actual shape of the actual haircut, I went home and I traced it with a razor blade. And so I was pretty addicted to getting fresh cuts.
Wow. Yeah. And just for the people listening, what exactly is a shape up? Is that like line up, or what exactly is the shape up? Just so.
A shape up is basically just like, you know how like when your hair gets a little bit messy.
It just cleans it up, right? You're talking about just cleaning it up.
Just cleans up the line work, basically. Exactly. Just like a line up, basically.
Gotcha.
Right. So, I mean, it's funny though, like that you share experience, because I actually didn't know that. But for me, like, I grew up in a setting where it's very similar to him, actually. We're actually very close to each other. We're in the same neighborhood, Latino community, Asian American community. This is Sunset Park. And, you know, growing up, I started off going to a lot of my grandma's friends. Like, dude, they would try to cut my hair and then, you know, get practice in so they would join a salon. You know, and then when I got a proper cut, it was actually the first time it was at a salon. And there was one thing that I really liked about it. And now I understand it more because I'm a barber, but it was essentially something called, we always emphasize on shape, just the way that it frames your face. And you know, you're a great example right now because there's enough bulk on the sides right there where your face still maintains that rectangular finish. It's that side part that we find super important, right? You know, in the salon setting, they can provide that, but they can never provide a fresh fade. And you know, growing up in this neighborhood, you know, you would have to have a fresh fade to be kind of cool. So from the salons, I was introduced to a nice Hispanic barbershop on Fifth Avenue. My boy Kevin put me onto his spot, and you know, I got a fresh fade, but there was one thing off. It was just like all of this was gone up here. So everything on top, super heavy, pineapple looking, and then turn over, it's like super fresh. So you know, it's crazy. Now I think about it more. I built the habit to do this so often. You know, because this side of the profile looks so good. You know, now that I'm a barber, I kind of am able to essentially fuse both specialties, a salon as well as like a barbershop, getting the silly cut correct, the shape, and also the fade. So yeah, that's like the biggest thing.
Did you guys go through like all the phases of like Asian hair, like spiky hair, or like, you know, I feel like for me, I didn't really learn about hair until way later because it just, there's no resources for it. You know what I mean? This is something I wanted to talk about too. Is like, why do you guys think it's like taboo to talk about Asian hair in the Asian community? You know, like we don't really talk about, I mean, is this true? I mean, I know you guys talked about this in the other podcast, but that's something I noticed too. Why is it that I don't know about my own hair, and why isn't there any resources for us to talk about how, wait, why can't I do my hair like that? And a lot of us go through like our childhood not really understanding, wait, why isn't my hair doing this? Why is my hair poofing out? And is it just me? You know what I mean? Like, can you guys like, because you have so many clients, why do you think that is?
So I think it boils down to the media, right? When we were growing up, our inspiration, right, came from celebrities. And I think that there were not a lot of light on Asian men, I think. And so I don't know about you, but oftentimes before I even understood my own hair, I went to barbershops and I would show models of Caucasian men. And I'm like, that actually looks really good, but how come I can't get it? So I'm always like showing the same picture, like with like very wavy hair, very, very textured. And I think it boils down to like not having enough light on Asian celebrities. Or Asian inspiration, role models exactly. Yes, on film.
And I totally agree on that. And I think aside from like even celebrities, I think our main role models growing up are our parents, right? And in Asian culture, I think, where our parents don't necessarily tell us or educate us on what was supposed to look good. And I think like from a lot of my friends, like in high school, they would be like, yeah, my dad would tell me to get this high skin fade with an edge up on top. And I'm just like, I don't even know what that means. And then I just feel like with our parents, they're just like, yeah, go get it cut short so it lasts longer. You spend less money.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that's the foundation of it. It's like, and I think we always, you know, come late to it because, you know, at first we're just like, oh, yeah, we just need to get a haircut. Like, doesn't need to look good. It just needs to last long.
It needs to be practical.
Yeah.
It needs to be practical. Short. Buzz cut.
But that's changing heavily.
Yeah. I think you guys are doing that too. I think there's like this stigma within the Asian community. Yeah, don't waste your money on expensive cuts because it can't, like, let's say if your parents are immigrants, for instance, right? You tell them how much a cut is, they'll be like, what? You know, like they're so used to like the Chinatown old school cuts where you go for like $5 to $7. And on top of that, within the Asian community, the focus is on like the internal, meaning like your education. Like you're professional and they don't really worry too much of the exterior part of it. Right. And in America, that's really important. What would you tell someone that's still kind of in that mindset and they're like, they don't really see haircuts as being important. Like they don't understand why would you pay this much for this haircut that's going to grow out? What would you tell them? And I'm sure you guys tell these guys all the time. Like, what would you tell them?
That's a great question. Yeah. Honestly, you know, when they're in our chairs already, they already see the value in investing in their hair. But I think through our digital presence and also just the way that we create our content, it shows people, for one, that they can do much more with their hair. So aside from trying to influence people to, you know, change their way of thinking when it comes to like trying or doing more with their hair, it's kind of like opening up the options first. Because I think me growing up looking for these like reference photos was the hardest part, right?
Right.
And now that there's a platform out there like us that we're providing for these Asian men, they get to see like, oh, that's achievable. So that's already like one thing, like, okay, maybe I'll go there to try it out. If I were to try to influence somebody to, you know, change the way of thinking, I would essentially go like, yeah, like the way that you carry yourself also translates to how you feel. I think that's so important, like, because, you know, it's like wearing a different hat, you know, it makes you feel different.
Yeah,
I think Peter hit all the right points. I think that a haircut can definitely transform your life. Like, you wake up and you feel good. If you feel good about yourself, you definitely carry yourself in a different light. Mm-hmm. And I think that translates to anything that you do.
No, 100% agree. And it's crazy to me to think, like, if I step outside of my own self, when I get a haircut, like, you just instantly feel brand new, and that feeling that you get driving off, and if the barber did it correctly, like, it's a good feeling, right? But some people never get that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys run into these guys all the time. Like, I'm kind of curious, like, what is the age where there is a person like that that's really never had a great haircut experience, and how old can that person be? You know what I mean? Because I think I want to encourage whoever's listening, like, get a decent haircut, get it from someone who understands Asian hair, get it from someone who understands your face structure, how your hair grows, see how it feels after you get the haircut. And then if you don't like it, go back to what you were doing. But if, you know, like, there's so much more benefit on trying it one time. Like, what are you guys seeing when they jump in your seat? The guys who have, you know, maybe they cut their own hair and they just never decided to get a real good haircut. Like, how old can they be? Like, how far could they not have that experience?
That's actually a good question. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot more because TikTok has been bringing us a lot of traffic. So we see a wide range of different demographics, right?
Yeah.
They're like, you know, 13, their parents are bringing them in, or, you know, they might end up even being like 25, 28. I could talk about specific age groups differently, but I guess, like, the people that most commonly come in, let's say they're 28, they're working, you know, most of these guys haven't experienced it yet. And I think the biggest thing is going back to even, like, the role model thing, right? For a lot of people, they just need the confidence from somebody to say, like, hey, you know, this is going to look good for you. And I'm going to guarantee that, or I'll have a vision for you. And I think a lot of people growing up didn't have that, like, where, you know, whether they're even their friends were like, yo, you got to check this barber out because he might actually bless you up. You're going to look different. And, you know, I feel like also within the Asian community, a lot of us are pretty tight knit, and, you know, Asians will talk amongst Asians, but there wasn't any of that growing up. But now that, you know, they've entered our shop, it's like us directly telling them, hey, this is how I'm going to help you. And then they leave with that same feeling. But for those people that are watching and listening, you have to just come to the shop, try it out. And then again, if it doesn't work out for you, which I don't think so, then go try something new.
Yeah, I mean, we've encountered a good amount of an age group. I think that I've had moms bring in their children at like 8 years old, all the way up to like an OG at like 50 years old or 60 years old that continues to come back after trying us once.
Yeah.
And so it's a very wide range that we've encountered. But, you know, the medium, the average is about 28.
Yeah. That's and wild. You see? Go ahead.
I think the fun thing about seeing the younger kids come in is their parents. So like they come in, they're like all really cool and hip Asian American parents, but it's interesting to see, like, they probably grew up with that same feeling where they weren't able to get the best haircut. So they're like, let me bring in my kid here to, you know, to kind of, you know, plant the seed, get them started on fresh haircuts so that, you know, eventually 5-10 years down the line, the standard for Asian American haircuts is just going to go even crazier. It's kind of like if we grew up, we had kids, we brought them to Topel, and then they now bring you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's always nice to see.
Hopefully there's something cooler when we get older.
Definitely. that's interesting because, like, when you guys talk about it, it's usually like the late 20s, they finally discover, like, whoa, like, I can feel confident with this new haircut. Like, I've never felt this before. And they had to wait that long to feel that way. Like, imagine if you get a haircut when you're a kid, you build that confidence right away. Maybe it starts with the haircut, right? Now you want that feeling again. So then maybe you start dressing a little better. Maybe you start, you know what I mean? And then people notice you, and then that leads to building more confidence. Like, it's crazy to have guys who are in the late 20s discovering it at that moment, you know what I mean? And, you know, I want to lead this into, I think if someone decides, okay, I want to spend more money with a barber because I want to, you know, look better or whatever it is, I think it's also important that you find a barber that actually deals with Asian hair, because this is something that I'm learning. Like, some people are great barbers, but they've never dealt with Asian hair. So even if, you know, they charge a good amount or they have a lot of experience, but they never work with Asian hair, they can still kind of mess up your hair. So can you guys walk me through, like, why is Asian hair different compared to black, white, Latino, whatever it is, and why does it need to be treated differently? So people understand why their hairs aren't able to do what they do.
Oh man, there's such a wide range, because like there's four different types of hair, right? There's the straight, wavy, you have curly, and then you have kinky. And most Asian guys have straight, but then in straight or wavy, but then in between those types, there's three different categories, subcategories. Wow. A, B, and C. A being thinnest, C being thickest. I think it all boils down to also the growth pattern. If your hair is wavy or curly, it definitely cannot do something that is straight, unless you go to the salon and you actually process it. And so I think that if it is a question that you have, I think it's best to send the picture to us, and then we'll sort of give you that recommendation if this haircut will work for you.
Right. So I think the most common one we've been seeing is just how Asian hair sticks out, right?
Yeah, that side.
And the reason why that happens is because what Tim mentioned, there's four types of hair. Now, for us, it's usually the majority of us have type one hair, which is straight. And then us being, you know, with straight hair, it depends on, let's say if it's really thick, then it will be even harder for it to lay down. Now, for us, our hair pretty much grows perpendicular to our head, so it will shoot out. And, you know, with like a lot of Asian guys, what happens is, you know, if you shave it up too high with the shape of the head, it starts to grow out funny because, you know, at this curvature, if I were to cut this part, right, and you see how it kind of curves my head, this portion will start to stick out this way if not enough weight is left there. And the reason why your knee is able to stick down is because where the parietal ridge starts to round in, it's heavy enough to lay over. The lengths are much longer by the top than it is by the bottom, which creates that illusion that we have that like kind of flatter hair per se. But if you cut that off and try to grow it out,
it'll look weird.
Funny.
Yeah, with Asian hair, length is going to be your friend.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It really depends. Like Peter said before, around the parietal ridge, some people, like, it doesn't even work out just because the hair is so thick that even if you grow it like that, it still sticks out this way, right? And so I think there's this thing called a down perm that people have tried. We haven't tried it yet, but I think that's up and coming for sure.
D-Perm. It's a company called D-Perm. I actually tried it. It worked, and it kept me from going to the barber shop with like maybe another month or so, I think. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's really this thing that really messes up the haircut, which I think a lot of other guys, like, because the hair goes down, they can keep a fresher look. So I know guys like get haircuts every 2 weeks, a week, because of that side hair that comes out. So it really sucks for us, you know, when it comes down to that.
Exactly. So back to what Peter was saying before, perpendicular versus straight out, right? So I think every other ethnicity, like everybody's hair grows down. And so that's why they can last a little longer without haircuts. But us, every 2 weeks is ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And for someone who's never really gotten a good haircut here in 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, they're probably like, damn, that's a lot. But I mean, that's why you got to connect that haircut with like a good feeling about, you know, like that self-confidence. And I think it'll keep people coming.
But at the same time, I want to backtrack on that. The 2 weeks is only 2 weeks if not cut properly. So I've had some clients come in that they used to get it cut every 2 weeks, but then after they kind of tailored their haircut to something similar, but also combats that issue of your hair sticking out, it lasts around 4 to 5. So that's also what we do at the shop too. We build confidence in people so that they try something new, where, you know, they make some sacrifices in some areas, but at the same time, they benefit in others, and then they start to continue to change their hairstyle based off their lifestyle. So let's say if you can't afford it 2 weeks, fine. Let's just say, like, you get a bald fade on the side, something super short. Instead of it growing out really awkwardly by the second week, maybe we'll offer something where it's like a one on the side, and then you still have the skin taper, so it looks like a skin fade, but you don't lose that shape to the hair where it sticks out after 2 weeks. So there are things that you can do to avoid going back to the shop too often. And we preach this pretty often too. We don't want our clients to come back after 2 weeks because it's beneficial that they see their hair growing or have a hairstyle that lasts that much longer. Just because, you know, also when they come back, there's more stories to tell. You know, there's also more to catch up on. It's a better feeling when you also both benefit.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. This is more so like tips specifically for Asian hair. If you guys can help me out and answer some of these questions, I think a lot of guys are probably interested about hearing. But like, what's the worst thing you can do with, well, I don't think it's specifically just Asian hair, but hair in general. Like, I guess the health of the hair also matters, right? Like using different products. How does that all affect your hair?
You want to touch upon that first? Or?
So I'll touch up on... Yeah, I can start and then you... So
some no-nos, and, yeah.
So here are a couple things. Never for Asian hair specifically, right? Because the hair is so straight, you never want to shampoo every single day, right? Because the path where the sebum, which is the hair oils, the oils from the scalp actually, travels to the end of the scalp, because it's a straight line, if you have straight hair, and you wash that out every single day, you're sending signals to your scalp to overproduce oils, and that's why you feel like you need to wash it every day. So ideally, you want to wash every other day, right? It's okay to wash, but I would also suggest a sulfate-free one, something a little less harsh, more gentle, so that you retain some of the oils in the scalp, in the hair, to keep the scalp better moisturized.
Dope.
Right. You can I feel like that's... That's pretty much the number one rule when it comes to hair care. Mm-hmm. I think also, you know, when it comes to products and how to style it, I think it's important for a lot of Asian guys to understand that, you know, volume is achievable, you know, and you dealing with flat hair shouldn't be something that you just say like, oh, this is it. I got to give up on it. there are ways to give your hair some volume. Like there's stuff like pre-stylers where they increase grit and voluminous, like, I guess, gives you more volume. There's also shampoos out there where you can offer like a protein shampoo, which also gives your roots some more lift to it. That way it has more volume. So, you know, when it comes to products and hair care, I think it's really important. The first step you do is you figure out which subcategory you are first. So, you know, for your hair, Mike, it seems like you have straight hair. Based on density and also how dark it is right now from the webcam, seems like you have type 1 hair. Okay, now that hair type is really thick. It has body and waves to it already, meaning naturally your hair can stand up on its own a little bit by the roots. And if you were to potentially perm your hair or even flat iron it, it can hold a really nice curl. But that doesn't apply to type 1A hair, which is super fine, like mine, and soft to touch. This type of hair tends to be a lot flatter, as well as requires more to keep a curl and lift to it. Yeah, so it varies based off a lot of different hair types, which is why I think it's super important that we see I like to call our guys canvases, because it's like a piece of art. But it's important that we see the canvas so that we know how to tailor it to them, as well as like what products we recommend.
Yeah.
But rule of thumb usually generally applies to shampoo stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, just the information you guys are talking about, like, that's why this whole thing is like a science. Like, it's not just Asian hair. You have type 1, type 2, type 3, type 4. And that's why it's so important a barber knows that. I mean, in your profession, do a lot of barbers actually are knowledgeable like that? Or, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you guys would even know, but like.
So, I want to say that a lot of barbers out there are chasing the same thing we are by increasing their knowledge. But I think the standard of hair and just barbershops in general haven't necessarily invested themselves too much into that. But we find it important to know, because aside from things like your haircut looking good, I think it's important to know your hair so that you can tailor towards it more. And, you know, for us, it's a little hard to say whether people are doing it or not, because even us, it's a little hard to find time to study. Like after 13, 14 clients a day, me and Tim and our other guy, Andy, would be up studying until like maybe 2 a.m. sometimes, building out more knowledge and like trying to, you know, just know the industry better in terms of like knowledge and all that. But
yeah, I think a big part of why we're, you know, seeing a good amount of clients is because we like to translate what we learned to the chair, so that the client in the chair actually learns more about the hair, right? The idea is educating the client so that they have an understanding of why they have that problem and why we're tailoring this haircut to them.
Yeah. No, I love the videos you guys post up. And I never would have thought that I would be following like just like a barbershop type of page. But the things that you guys post are so interesting that I could learn or understand why my own hair does what it does. So it's really cool. This is kind of a two-part question, and then after that, I want to like lighten it up a little bit. I know this is like almost like a quiz for you guys, but what do you say? I find this a lot. What do you say to the Asian guys who aren't a part of like a big Asian American community? Because you guys are in New York, you guys are in Brooklyn, so there's a good amount of Asians. I'm in the Bay Area, so I'm surrounded by a lot of Asians as well. What do you tell the Asian Americans that are in the middle of the country and all the barbers like white, they never dealt with Asian hair, like how they should approach a haircut and how should they identify a good barber? Because I guess if someone doesn't really understand Asian hair, it's like they're kind of handicapped, you know? Like, what would you tell them to do?
So, I mean, for one, what they can do is they can directly message us on Instagram. We'll actually help them do maybe like a one-on-one conversation. We've been doing this for a couple of our guys, our supporters out there. Like we've gotten people from Hawaii, like Texas, that just reach out to us. Even India, like they reach out to us. We make some time out of our day to have like a live conversation with them, help them do that. And if that doesn't work out for them, then what we would suggest is it's important to do market research in terms of like Instagram. And I mean, I think this rule applies to a lot of people, even different all over the place, right? The way you look for a great barber is you do your research on Instagram, usually look at their work, and you dive deeper into that barbershop and like what they're providing, and just look through each barber's pages. Now, I think social media is huge. Like, you can find some good work.
Yeah. No, to add to what Peter's saying, like, if like during that research, right, you have to really look at the photos, right? Because Asian hair, like we said before, sticks outwards, you got to make sure that this barber or stylist understands shape, right? So here's a tip. So if a barber only has pictures of the sides of the haircut, that might be a tough one, just because when you look straight, it could be a little different, because this front profile is actually what is super important for Asian hair or Asian guys in general. All right, because if it looks good from the side, it doesn't mean it's going to look good from the front. Right, so I would say if the barber or stylist takes pictures from the front and the shape looks good, try them out.
That's a good one. I like that. I've been in that position where the sides are good, and then in the front, the damn shape was not it. And I'm wondering, like, wait, last week was good, and then this week is like, you know, that's like the worst to have. You know, you pay that money, and it's like, but yeah, I want to jump into something lighter, learn a little bit about you guys, and being... You know, this show, this segment in this podcast is actually called Barbershop Talk. And it's really to basically speak on, like, when you're in a barbershop, for some reason, you always kind of open up to your barber. You talk about the randomest things. You talk about, like, I don't know. It just feels like a safe place sometimes, right? And I think it's interesting for you guys, especially since you guys do deal with, like, Asian hair and, like, Asian people in general, mainly, right? I'm assuming so. What makes it about the barbershop that encourages people to open up and have those conversations with you guys? Because for some reason it feels like you guys are not just barbers, but you guys are sort of like therapists, you know? You're like, I'm sure every barber that I've ran to, they're always good conversationalists. You just tell them stuff that normally you wouldn't even tell some people, but you just happen to tell your barber. Can you talk to me about that? And I just want to, you know, understand, like, do you guys enjoy that part, and how do you guys go about that?
Well, I mean, if you're going to be, I mean, it's all part of service, you know, like we're all, we've been doing this for a couple of years now, plus. I think a part of the experience is actually connecting with the person in your chair. And in order to build your clientele, I think it's very, very important to build that relationship. And I think they start to open up to you because they have that. I mean, if you trust somebody with your hair, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you can trust them with anything.
Right.
You know, because we know the best for them, and they know we want the best, right? So yeah, I think it also helps that, like, there's only guys at the barbershop, you know, like there's this, like, pact that, you know, the word won't go out. You know what I mean? So what happens at the barbershop stays in the barbershop.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's dope that, like, people come in and they're very open about their lives. And, you know, I think that comes from, you know, just through my experience. It's just a place, because, you know, growing up, you just know the barbershop is a place where you can just let loose, and it becomes like a spa. Like, you have no worries about talking about whatever. And, you know, it helps that as a barber, you know, we have a lot of these different types of conversations. So we're able to have a lot of input and a lot of different perspectives, right? And, you know, on average, maybe 12, 13 clients a day, that's 12 different separate conversations. And a lot of these people come from different walks of life. So that gives us a lot of wisdom, a lot of perspective on, like, different careers, different, you know, situations, breakups, you know, family gatherings, I don't know, whatever it is. And, you know, us being able to, you know, give them advice also helps out, because they're like, oh, well, this guy probably talks to a lot of people. Let's see how he can help me. And I think it's cool because I approach it the same way as Tim, where I like to become friends with my clients. You know, like, we stay connected on social media, and, like, we would just like continue to build this relationship where it feels like, oh, I'm just getting a haircut from my boy. Or I'm getting a haircut from my friend.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, that's just like my barber.
Yeah. And, That's cool, and that's how exactly I feel about my barber. Well, I've had my barber for maybe over 15, 16 years now.
Wow.
I actually have a new barber now, only because I live so far. I used to literally drive, like, driving time would literally be like an hour and a half just to go back to the same barber with a toll in between, and I'm paying him. You know what I mean? And that's like sort of the relationship, and you guys talked about this in the Asian Not Asian podcast, where it's like, it's the vibe check, you know what I mean? Because it's almost like, I think being a barber to someone is something special. I don't know what it is. It's like you trust them to make sure that you look good, and you kind of determine, like, how they feel about themselves if the haircut goes well. So I think that's a special thing. And I didn't even think about, like, you guys are consuming all this information from different people, and that makes you, that puts you in a better place, because if you have different worldviews, that makes you overall, I think, a well-rounded person. So that's pretty cool. So it's almost like a win-win in both directions, right?
Right.
But I guess this question is, brings me back to how you guys are transforming barbering in general and just how people think of barbershops. And what's something in the barbershop profession that you think should change? And you feel like it's, people are still holding on to that. Is that something that I feel like you guys are trying to, I don't know what that is, but I feel like you guys are, have pinpointed it and you guys want to change that.
What do we want to change?
What's something about the barber thing that people still like do that it just needs to change? Maybe it's the community thing, but I feel like that's slowly moving. Cause I don't know how often it is that people get the community barbershop experience, you know? Like, I think I have a feeling a lot of times people just, their barbershop experience is getting a cut and then get out the chair. Or what, yeah, I don't know,
so something else. That's one, right? I think, you know, the standard is changing. You know, us, I feel like we are making a big impact in how we increase the standard of barbering. And one way we're doing that is, you know, not treating it as if, you know, you're getting a haircut and you leave my chair and that's it. For us, I think it's, if I were to kind of encourage other barbers to do, is try to find value outside of just the haircut that you're able to provide your client. And by that, I mean, you know, for us, we like to create and curate different experiences for our clients. Like back then, we used to throw freaking parties where all of our clients would come and meet up. And, you know, if they didn't have anything to do, they felt like they were a part of something. Like yeah. If that kid that was, you know, just turned 23, and he has like nobody to really hang out with, then he can come to our party and mingle with other clients. And then we build like a community based off that. So one thing is just providing value, like creating experiences, right? And I think that's so important because we're like kind of like the middle point for a lot of these guys. Like you come and get your haircut and you also meet a bunch of different people. Increasing value, yeah.
To add on to that, right, value is great, community is great. Another thing is, right, where we saw the lack of when we were going to barber school was service, how the barbers talked and treated the client, right? Professionalism, right? That plays a huge part of the whole experience. And if you're trying to build a business, if you're trying to build a community, how you treat others and how they feel when they're in your chair or even outside, like, I feel like a lot of barbershops are very clicky, right? Like, if you're not part of us, you're not part of us, right? So I think being open, being respectful, being professional, super important.
Yeah.
Ooh, also, I was going to mention, there's a stigma or there's a thing for a lot of clients where you got to be loyal to me or I'm not going to cut your hair anymore. I think for us, we approach it as stay loyal to the shop and try out other barbers, because that only builds a better relationship for you, your clients, and everybody. Because let's say, God forbid, I got sick and then my client needs to go to get a haircut, but now he's like, oh, it feels awkward for me to, you know, go to somebody else because I feel like I'm cheating them. But at the same time, it wouldn't feel that way unless the barber made it clear that, hey, like, definitely try out Tim when I'm not here. Like, he's a great guy too. And then now it's just like three people that are friends, as opposed to now it's like just me and you.
Right. Yeah. I think I've been to those barbershops where it feels like it's like a club, you know, and being a customer, you don't feel like you're a part of that. And I don't think that's a good experience. You know what I mean? Like I know what you're talking about. And that's cool that you guys really think those things through. I want to backtrack real quickly I don't think we talked about this, but what are some things that you should be doing with your hair? I think we talked about the bad, but what are the goods? What's a good one? What are some good things you should do?
I guess with Asian hair, right? If it's with Asian hair, then some good things you can do is
conditioner is a general thing, but a lot of guys want volume. And so the stigma is blow drying is bad. But if you do want a hairstyle that is achieved you know, with volume, you need a blow dryer. And so the stigma is blow drying is bad, but it's only bad if you blow dry the same strand of hair for long periods of time. So, I mean, guys usually don't have like super long hair, right? Whereas like women or like people with longer hairstyles continue to blow that same strand. And so if you are getting haircuts, every 6 weeks, you should be okay. So blow drying is actually good because heat actually influences the hair.
All right. So if we're going that alleyway, right? I think there's a huge stigma between blow drying your hair to dry it off. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think it's bad, but it's actually beneficial that you do add that in when you're drying your hair out. Now this should be the process. You towel dry your hair, mm-hmm. and then you blow dry the rest with either medium to low heat from a distance. And the reason why you want to do that is because when water sits in your hair for long periods of time, it essentially soaks up into your hair strands and expands the hair follicle. Essentially, that leads to breakage because your hair already has a ton of moisture in it. When you leave your hair in water for too long, it ends up becoming brittle, starts to break. So it's better that you speed up the drying process with a little bit of blow drying.
Cool. That's something I didn't know about. So nice.
You think our parents knew that when they
hell no, I did not know that.
You better sleep with your hair wet.
Yeah.
Did you guys have bowl cuts growing up?
Oh man.
Of course, bro.
It was like an intro.
We've tried the bowl cuts, we've tried like freaking a lot of the like Taeyang's haircuts. Yeah,
the mohawk, the faux hawk, blowouts, all that type.
Yeah. Did you guys get into a place where you're like, I don't know, just like, what's wrong with my hair? And maybe a little insecure about the hair just because it didn't, you know, because like you said, like you guys bring it back to your parents. Your parents didn't really tell you how to work your hair because I don't think they really thought about it. Like, did you guys ever growing up just feeling like, man, my hair is like weird? I don't know.
I mean, for me, I noticed that. I guess it is insecurity when like you start to play with your hair constantly when you're walking around, wind's blowing, and it's just not sitting the way you want it to. So that's when I realized like, oh man, my hair is different. Like I need a cut so that it would work for my lifestyle where it's not bothering me all the time and I don't feel like I need to constantly look at myself. Mm-hmm. And the way I found this or the solution to all that was, I was upset about it. So I continued to do research. I was like, what do I need to piece this together? I don't know how I knew this. I was in high school, but I was like, you know, there's probably different parts to a haircut that I need to figure out. You know, obviously I got hair on top and the sides. So then what I did was I did the whole salon, get a cut, and then also try to fade my own hair out myself. So I get the top cut myself and then I fade out my own hair on the sides. That's when I picked up those clippers. Yeah, so just trying to find solutions to parts of the hair for me.
Nice, being proactive, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, stay proactive.
Now that I think about it, like when you asked that question, Mike, I think I was pretty insecure because I was using pounds and pounds of gel and wax. Like just every single day, I just have to throw it in or else I wouldn't leave the house, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, like I guess I was insecure in that way. Like the hair had to be perfect. Each strand had to be placed
Same, man.
Yeah, bro. Like, or else I wouldn't be able to leave the house.
Yeah. So, I mean, I went through the phase where I was using, I don't know if everyone, I think it's LA Looks or something, that gel, that big ass, like,
yeah,
like
the
jar.
The gel,
like way back in the day. I remember having to gel up my hair spiky, you know, because that's all I knew. And then I went to like a buzz cut with like a taper. And then I finally grew out my hair because of the pandemic. And, you know, I'm happy I finally was able to grow it out because it's, you get to a point. I think there's a video where you're like, your hair doesn't have to look bad when you're growing it out. I didn't know that, but my hair just looked bad for like maybe 9 months while I was growing it out because I didn't know what to do with it. So I wish I would have had the information you guys, because there's like a haircut that you could use to make the process of growing your hair not as bad. So I wish I would have known that information. But it's crazy how, like, just listening, how many Asians kind of go through that same phase. And I'm glad that we got you guys understanding it and then kind of explaining why we're in this place and what are some solutions that we can figure it out, you know? So I think that's pretty cool. Tim, how old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, so you guys are young bucks. I like that.
Really?
So, watch out, man. At least we got, you know, we always look young, at least, so we got that going.
Oh, of course, your skincare, bro. Skincare boys, you gotta start early, guys.
Yeah, I see you guys got that in the shop too.
I started skincare at 18.
Nice. So usually, I don't want to, you know, drag the video out for, or the conversation out for too long, but I usually end the episode with, you know, like a best piece of advice. And I think this is good to ask you guys because, like you said, you've learned from so many different people, so you must have built up a lot of wisdom. And basically, I'm going to put you guys in a situation. You're on your deathbed, and then someone close to you, like, you know, someone that you care about, you love, they ask you, you know, what's a piece of advice that you can provide them? And you got a couple of lines that you can tell them, you know, that's going to help them throughout their life in general, like just whatever they end up doing. What's a good piece of advice? You guys decide who wants to go first.
Oh, wow. That is deep, man.
You got a couple of lines. You about to go. Like you got to give them something.
We about to go. And someone asks them,
who wants to go first?
Think about this one.
I think about it.
I've been working all my life for this very moment right now. Shit.
Can you ask it again? Maybe it'll like.
Sure. So, you guys are on your deathbed, and someone approaches you, and they just want to know, like, what's a piece of advice you can tell them that has helped you, you know, figure things out. I don't know. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be specifically in how to become a barber. Or it's just like a very general value or principle that you follow that will help them no matter what they end up doing. What would that piece of advice be?
I think I got it. Can?
All right, go ahead, Tim.
Whatever it is you want to do, do it because people are going to judge you anyway.
I like that. Okay. And I think a lot of the Asian community goes through. I think that's a conversation you guys have on that chair, right? Like, how guys will come in and, you know, you ask them like what they do or what they're trying to do. And then you ask them, hey, is that for you? Is that for your parents? I think that's still, it's crazy. That still happens today. Like it is, you know, like I think Asian community, we want to make our parents proud and we end up doing things for them and not so much for us. So I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. No, it's just, I just hear so many stories about like why they got into their career. And it's like, yeah, I'm doing this for my parents. I'm like, damn. I'm sorry, but I mean, I hope you make your parents proud because they did provide this opportunity for us, right? They worked very hard for us to be in America, and you know, props to them for sure.
Right. See, I was thinking about the same alleyway, but my approach and my wording is just a little different. Mine is,
what you guys,
whatever makes you happy, do it and set a fire under your ass to get there. And I say that because that's essentially what I did when I dropped out of college. Like, I knew this was what's going to make me happy. And the only thing that was stopping me from getting there was the comfortability of, you know, like not putting myself under that pressure to get there. And like, cancel out all the noise while you're going about this journey. Because again, people are going to judge you regardless. Your whole family is not going to support it if it doesn't align with their goals. But as long as you put that pressure and that fire under your ass, anything is achievable.
Love that. Your testament. Yeah, yes, sir. Good one. That's a good one. I think a lot of Asian Americans that listen mainly on this podcast can relate to that. And I hope they make that decision. You know, they have the balls to just to do it, because at the end of your life, man, all you got is hopefully you didn't regret doing anything that you didn't want to do, you know, because I mean, you just got to answer it yourself. So I like that. Where do you guys see 12 Pell in 5 years, and where do you guys see yourselves in 5 years? If you guys plan out that far, it seems like you guys do. You guys are pretty organized. You guys have everything kind of. I see shaking head.
What do you call it? Organized chaos.
We just had a meeting yesterday night. You know, until like 10 p.m. Oh man, 5 years. I think the vision is we will be working with a good amount of brands. I think Nike is going to be, you know, that brand that we are shooting for. Manifesting that. We want to build out an education program to train our guys, train our barbers, and just like have a positive outreach to whoever needs help on their hair, their whatever it is, you know. I think the message is anything you set your mind to, you can do. right? We want to change the Asian narrative. You don't have to become a doctor. You don't have to become a lawyer. You don't have to be an accountant, right? Whatever makes you happy, right, we can do.
Yeah. Like for us, I think like the next 5 to even 10 years, or just like goal in general, is just, again, like changing the Asian American narrative. That's just Tim was mentioning. And how we want to do that is maybe tap into more like the digital space, you know, doing podcasts, you know, spreading the awareness, just sending the message out more so that people are aware that, you know, guys like this are doing it. And for us, entering the digital space is important because it allows us to create a voice to, you know, now influence people to, you know, one, get good haircuts, and two, you know, follow their dreams. Three, just enjoy life, because we're a team full of professional clowns, whatever.
And, you guys look like you have fun, man. That's
So, you know, just encouraging people to do what it is that they want to do, as opposed to, you know, listening to their parents and stuff. And I guess, like, as my personal goal, like, I just had this conversation with Tim, and I'm gonna be transparent as possible. Like, I set a goal out for myself when I started this, when I dropped out of college, and I'm at this point right now where I've hit this goal, and like, I've achieved everything I set out to do. And, you know, I'm kind of lost right now in terms of what's the next move for me personally. But I think I'm going to find that as I continue to, you know, build this brand with 12 Pell and like find my other verticals. And I think it's hard for me to find that at such a young age, at 23. Like, I've set those goals, and now I'm just looking for the next thing.
Yeah, don't worry, man. You're 23. I mean, you got so many years ahead. I think as long as you're improving, whatever it is that's next is going to fall into your lap naturally. You know what I mean? And I think, honestly, you guys should do a podcast. I mean, you guys, I think as a shop, have really good chemistry. I mean, the guys that jump into your shop as clients, I mean, could be great guests. Like, I think a podcast for you guys would be pretty good. Video podcast, you know? Like, I've seen some of the work that you guys have put in. I think it would be great. Especially, you know, you're 23, you're 29, so you have different perspectives as well as, you know, everything that you guys have learned. I think that'd be a great idea. I mean, down the road or whatever the hell you guys want to do.
That is something we are definitely working on, and like, we would love to have you on our show one day.
I'd love to, man. Whatever way I can help out. But that's the sort of community, you know? Like, I think for too long, a lot of Asian people look at each other as a competition. Or they look at it like if someone's doing well, they feel like they're behind, or like they become a hater, and that needs to change. You know, like, we can all win. It's not a game, you know, where only one person can win. Like, everybody can win. There's enough for everybody. Where can people find you? I mean, I'm sure whoever's listening now is probably like hyped up to get a haircut. Where can they find you to contact, and where can they find you to actually get a haircut? All that good stuff.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you can just look up our shop. It's 12PELL. That's it. We're here on Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah.
Located in the heart of Chinatown, NYC.
Right. And then, yeah, if you have personal questions, feel free to reach out to the 12PELL social media accounts, whether it be TikTok, Instagram, or feel free to email us. We also have a website. If you type in just 12PELL.com, you can book all of our barbers there. You can see our stories. You can see what brands we worked with, whether it be like UFC, you know, Rome, all that. And our personal Instagrams, if you want to reach out, you can do that too. Mine is at pc.cuts, PC Cuts.
And mine is Junior's Paradise, spelled out Junior.
Junior's Paradise. I like that. All right. Thank you guys so much. Hopefully, if you guys are listening, like, hair really is that complicated, and if you take the time to really understand it, you never know, you could get that feeling too. And hopefully you do get that feeling where you're driving off in your car, and I hope everyone gets that feeling. And definitely check out 12PELL. These guys, as you can see, they're serious about what they do, and I mean it sounds like you guys love what you guys do. But yeah, other than that, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I'll talk to you guys for the next one. Peace.